Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. We are up to the 31st chapter of 1 Samuel, which is the last chapter of 1 Samuel. But you also have 2 Samuel. And so we're going to continue going right through because they tell the story. And we're actually picking up the narrative from two or three chapters back. Listen what it says here, beginning with verse 1. Now the Philistines were fighting against Israel, and the men of Israel fled from before the Philistines and fell slain on Mount Gilboa. And so if you remember, the Philistines were encamped in one place. Israel was encamped in another place. They're having a little stare-off. They're about to have a battle. Saul didn't know what to do. He was terrified. He sought God, but God didn't answer. So he called up Samuel through the medium from Endor. And Samuel told him, said, "You're going to be with me tomorrow, you and your sons. This is the tomorrow. This is the account of it." Verse 2, the Philistines overtook Saul and his sons, and the Philistines killed Jonathan and Abinadab and Malchishua, the sons of Saul. So it's just very forthright. They overtook them and they died. Scripture has a lot to say about Jonathan, whose name literally means Jehovah has given. And this is the Jonathan that's the friend of David. Yeah. Then Abinadab, we see some about him. And that name means my father is noble, my father is willing. Malchishua, you don't hear much about at all, okay? Just a son. His name literally means my king is wealth. It's wealth. And I don't know if it's a pejorative type of thing that he worshiped money, he was after money, or if it meant that his king is a wealthy king, which was his daddy. Regardless, these three sons died. Now watch this, verse 3. The battle went heavily against Saul, and the archers hit him, and he was badly wounded by the archers. And so it literally means the archers found him. They saw him, they found him, and he got nailed with arrows. Then Saul said to his armor bearer, "Draw your sword and pierce me through with it. Otherwise, these uncircumcised will come and pierce me through and make sport of me." Now, he wasn't worried about being made fun of, but that's literally what he's saying, is that usually the normative thing to have done, if you've captured royalty, if you got wounded royalty, before you kill them, you're going to belittle them in every way you can imagine, particularly physically, to where you can prove that you are the victor. And he didn't want to have anything to do with this. So he told his armor bearer, he said, "He could tell these wounds are fatal. I'm not dead yet. Will you please finish me off?" Verse 4 continues. But the armor bearer would not, for he was greatly afraid. So Saul took his sword and fell on it. So what is he greatly afraid of? Well, you're greatly afraid, even in the sense that we've seen with David all the way through, that you don't touch God's anointed. Even if God's anointed sister and tells you to take their life. He was afraid of the situation, absolutely, absolutely terrified, because here is his king. He's the armor bearer. He's the one that's supposed to be protecting him. And here he is with fatal wounds. And so Saul took it into his own hands and fell on his sword, and he died. Verse 5, when the armor bearer saw that Saul was dead, he also fell on his sword and died with him. That would have been the custom. And, you know, I don't think we have any concept of the emotions that are going through their minds and what's happening at that time. So verse 6 points it out in case we haven't seen it. Thus Saul died with his three sons, his armor bearer, and all his men on that day together. That doesn't mean that every one of Saul's men died, but it means that the men who died all died on that day together with Saul, his three sons, and his armor bearer. And as it was prophesied, isn't that wild that it was prophesied by Samuel literally from the dead? So verse 7, when the men of Israel who were on the other side of the valley with those who were beyond the Jordan saw that the men of Israel had fled, that shows you that they didn't all die because some of them fled, and that Saul and his sons were dead, they abandoned the cities and fled. Then the Philistines came and lived in them. So the soldiers of Israel, the soldiers of Saul, the men of Saul, they saw they were defeated, they fled, they left, the Philistines moved in and literally took over the cities. Verse 9, They cut off his head and stripped off his weapons. This is the Philistines in relationship to Saul. They found his body. I skipped the verse. It came about on the next day when the Philistines came to strip the slain, that they found Saul and his three sons fallen on Mount Gilboa. Normally, the retreating men would have grabbed the bodies of the leaders, but they fled so quickly they left the bodies there. It was such a dangerous situation, they left the bodies there. So the Philistines cut off Saul's head and stripped off his weapons and sent them throughout the land of the Philistines to carry the good news to the house of their idols and to the people. What is all that about? I mean, is this just a vindictive cutting off of the head kind of thing? Well, maybe, perhaps. But no, there's probably more to it. Because in 1 Chronicles 10:10, it says this of this incident. It says, "And they put his weapons in the temple of their gods, and they fastened his skull to the temple of Dagon." They fastened Saul's skull to the temple of Dagon. Do you remember what happened with Dagon? We saw it earlier in 1 Samuel, back in the 5th chapter, that the Spirit of the Lord moved upon their pagan idol, which is literally a statue, and God decapitated the head off of Dagon and took the hands off of Dagon. And it freaked the Dagon priest out. Well, what have they done now? They literally took Saul's skull and put it back on top of Dagon. Yeah, and that's what it means to carry the good news. The good news would have been that their enemy, Saul, was defeated. And we have taken his head and put it back on top of our idol. And that's the good news to the house of the idols and to the people. Verse 10, they put his weapons in the temple of the Ashtoreth, and they fastened his body to the wall of Beth Shan. So taking the weapons into the temple of your God, that's a pretty standard practice right there. Okay, so they did that. But then they took his body and the body of his son, and they nailed the bodies to a wall at a place called House of Ease. Yeah, wow, that's great, you know. And so it was a proclamation that they were victorious. Now, the last three verses of this book. Now, when the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead heard what the Philistines had done to Saul, all the valiant men rose and walked all night, and they took the body of Saul and the bodies of his son from the wall of Beth-shan, and they came to Jabesh and burned them there. They took their bones and buried them under the tamarisk tree in Jabesh and fasted 7 days. So when the valiant men had heard what had happened to Saul and his sons, they went and got the bodies and they burned them. Little cremation right here. They burned them. And well, why did they do that? Because that's not a traditional thing that you see in the scripture that the Jewish people did with bodies. We really don't know, and we're not told. So that's what we know beyond any shadow of doubt. We don't know. We're not told. But more than likely, to stop the abuse of the bodies. You burn the bodies, you take just the bones, you put it in a little bone box, and you bury the bones to be done with it, to where the enemy would not come back. I mean, they've got the skull, got the head in one place, you know, got the bodies over here, doing all this stuff to bring an end to it. And then they fasted 7 days. Even then, they did so in honor of the king that the Lord had given. Well, this sets up the story. 2 Samuel 2, 2 Samuel, the account of David. Yep. Well, again, I'm Dale. Thank you for your time. I'll see you in the next episode. Goodbye.